It's easy to measure things in the brain. It's not so easy to identify with what precision you have measured those.
We want to just see what there is to learn about this part of the brain.
Mapping the network in the brain. This is Future Lab, the online radio series from Intel Labs. I'm Jason Lopez. There are undiscovered realms that compel us, like space, the deep ocean, or advanced physics. But one of the most mysterious of all is inside us, the human brain. The concept of singularity, when applied to intelligence, suggests that at some point machines will surpass the capabilities of the human brain. But that might be a difficult point to discern, because the truth is, we don't know much about the brain at all.
It's humbling to know that after some 50 years of machine vision, there is no machine vision in the Predator system. What's between your two eyes is an extremely efficient computational engine, one that we're still learning to understand.
Professor Walter Schneider is a researcher at the University of Pittsburgh. He's been studying the brain for more than 40 years. Currently, he's working on a project to map the network in the brain. Helping to achieve this mapping is Denver Dash, an Intel Labs computer scientist.
We don't know a lot about the brain, and this is brand new data. It hasn't been studied much in the past. You know, it's just very new territory.
Just for illustration, let's compare the brain's network of tracks to a wiring diagram of a computer system.
If this was 1958 and somebody dumped a truckload of PCs on DARPA, the first thing they would probably have done, even though they didn't have the technology at the time, would be to identify what are the chips and what is the wiring diagram of the system. In 1992, we developed a capability of mapping activity of the brain. It would be the equivalent of doing an infrared signature of component parts of a printed circuit board. In 2010, we are approaching the point where we can map at the millimeter level the connective topology between all of the units in the brain to identify the wiring diagram. So those combinations make it a very exciting time.
The computer researchers look at the tracks as clusters of fibers that connect to regions of gray matter.
We're trying to use a machine learning approach where we say these things all have something in common, and we have to define what it is that they have in common that makes them cluster in the brain.
Looking at this brain networking using a computer algorithm is a challenge. The data to do the mapping comes from MRI brain scans. It's not just a matter of creating a graphic from the MRI. The research team is developing machine learning that provides deeper insights.
That's the main challenge, formulating that problem, clustering bundles of fibers as a computer program to automate. Because you have, 250,000 fibers.
We look at these in 3D, and these are diagrams that are better than you can get with dissection at this point.
Having a map of the brain's network yields immediate benefits. Professor Schneider flips open his laptop and goes to a series of photos showing various kinds of brain surgery, and he offers an example. Suppose you had a family member with a tumor requiring removal. Some tissues would probably have to be removed or disturbed in the process. Knowing where those tracks are helps the surgical team avoid serious damage.
One of the things that we do is, in a pre-surgical planning procedure, we identify where the motor system is, the language system, your attentive control systems are, to, in essence, put red flags saying, do not cut here. This is a woman who had a tumor that was close to the motor tract. If they just went in and took it out, she would have been paralyzed from that side. So what we wanted to know was where was the location. So now we use computer methods to project to the skin where the fiber tract was that they were supposed to miss. This is an example of a 57-year-old who was in decline. They were having memory and affect problems within that set. They had to go in and take the tumor out. If they took the original trajectory, they would have taken some of the prefrontal projection, and that would have likely aggravated the affect problems. What we did was we moved it over 1 centimeter, took out a bit of the corpus callosum that would have a little motor effect but no affect effect.
Traumatic brain injuries afflict about 2 million people in the U.S. every year. In most cases, using current techniques, doctors cannot detect any damage.
When you do scans, you see something like this, and there's nothing there. This is the same individual, happens to be a football player, with our techniques where we can identify when there are breaks in the fibers, and that particular individual has 67% breakage of that fiber track.
Professor Schneider and the Intel Labs team are inventing a computer vision technology in order to do their work. The first step is to achieve sufficient reliability so that they actually know what they're measuring is real.
It's easy to measure things in the brain. It's not so easy to identify with what precision you have measured those. So this involves things such as doing studies on physical tissue in cadavers. It involves creating known compartmentalized diffusion structures or phantoms. It involves doing work on humans, mapping the 100 years of knowledge that we know about neurophysiology to say, do we come up with the accepted answers within that system? And we're just beginning to get over that threshold of that level of reliability. All the fibers that you see here that are in green have gray at beginning and the ending of that. Yellow indicates that one of them didn't make it there. Red indicates that neither did. In the same way that if you had a cable in an aircraft, you don't want to have broken fibers. If your technology is successful, it should be able to identify the fibers accurately within that set. And this is where this group, I think, is doing a particularly good job.
We have the raw data from Wild, which is a very high dimensionality.
Mei Chen is on the brain network mapping team. She's an Intel Labs computer researcher who is an expert in structural MRI analysis. She says the mapping of the brain's tracks is undiscovered territory.
So the first step we took is to reduce the dimension while preserving the structure, you know, in this the pattern in the fiber tracks. Next step will be trying to discover patterns in that. After that, I think is to actually working together with Wild to develop a convincing way to validate technology. That itself also is non-trivial. As we know, it's a very much discovery project. We don't even know exactly what to expect and how exactly to evaluate it.
We are beginning to touch the tipping point. The key issue is what is our accuracy of the mapping. We are currently running at about 80%. I think if we hit 90%, we will get there. And the issue is illustrated by the partnership that we have here. It's taking fairly sophisticated computational, mathematical, imaging, and neuroscience approaches and finding a synergy between those to get a good, reliable mapping capability.
We have some interesting data. It's a totally new type of data, and we want to just see what there is to learn about this part of the brain. Part of that is just getting our heads around what's in this data, viewing it from different points of view, doing dimensionality reduction and clustering and seeing if, for example, if certain regions, coherent regions of the gray matter connect to other coherent regions of the brain matter. For example, the visual cortex connecting to some motor reasoning or some higher reasoning areas of the brain. So looking for this kind of gross connectivity is one vague goal we have. But aside from that, it's very exploratory. That's what kind of makes this a different project for us.
I thought I knew a lot about the brain anatomy. And, you know, working with Wild on these kind of data make me realize that, you know, I only kind of knew, you know, you kind of know the layout of some pathway, fundamental building blocks, how it functions, how it's really transmitting the data. I had no idea. Maybe nobody has too much of a better idea. So that's fascinating.
I started work in trying to understand brain systems of cognition back in the 60s. The technology to be able to map the functional activity became available in 1992. The technology to be able to map the wiring with reliability is just now becoming available. The brain is an exciting place because it has come up with so many very effective computational solutions. Understanding, for example, what are the programs that are within the genome that enable that wiring? What are the dynamic processes that correct for the minor errors within that system? How do you gain capability, particularly through learning and training? So that's a very plastic structure, and what enables it to acquire the great capabilities it has.
That's our show. Thanks for listening. This is Future Lab, the online radio series from Intel Labs. If you'd like to see photos from the show, you can see them at Flickr. Use the search terms Future Lab and Intel. There are other Future Lab shows available as well at iTunes and at connectedsocialmedia.com. Intel Labs is at intel.com/research.